The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Cranked up in the 3 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff. Chuck on vacay. He'll be back with us Friday. Carlos Medina, host of the Extra Morning Show on Extra 106.3, is in with us until 6 o'clock. That's when the Front Row's Audio Fun Bag will take over. The 3 o'clock hour of our show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header, or at thisstuffmatters.net. Why don't we start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Carlos?
Hey, Matt.
Yellows. Guess what?
What?
We kept feeding my dog crab and he kept pooping orange.
Seems like a simple thing to change.
He's had diarrhea all weekend. I'm sorry.
But I'm sorry for you.
Hope he's okay.
It's a problem when it does happen.
Yeah, I get it.
Pets, man.
Not surprising, but still disappointing. We learned yesterday that Andrew Jones would not be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. This is his sixth time on the ballot. If you're looking for a small piece of good news, he's trending. In the right direction, Andrew improved his Hall of Fame vote from 41.1% a year ago to 58.1%. So 17% of the same people a year ago that were like, 10 gold gloves don't impress me. The 430 home runs, eh. Maybe the best center fielder of his generation. Played on nothing but really good teams, nah. But a year later, they're like, a lot has changed. You got my vote.
It doesn't impress me.
Or House.
Doesn't impress Russillo.
Or House.
Doesn't impress House.
Now he needs another 17%, and hopefully if House and Russillo and Bill are voting the next time around, Andrew will get to 75%.
If it goes the way it goes, then you wait about another 2 years, and then we all wonder, why did it take so long?
So
and
dumb.
It's a weird game, isn't it?
So dumb. It's just this whole thing is silliness. And, you know, I want us to not care about this stuff, but for Andrew and for, you know, Braves country and just the clout of being a Hall of Famer, I want it for him. But the whole thing is just silliness. Now, again, I'm not going to compare the exact resumes of Scott Rowland and Andrew Jones, but if I just surfacely said Andrew hit 120 more home runs, 4 more gold gloves, roughly the same all-star game appearances, yet Scott Rowland's in and Andrew Jones still isn't, I scratch my head and wonder, what does he have to do? Los, I saw this number. Andrew's one of only 4 players in the history of the game to win 10 gold gloves, hit at least 400 home runs. The other 3 were first ballot Hall of Famers named Willie Mays, Ken Griffey Jr., and Mike Schmidt, and they're going to make Andrew wait at least to year number 7.
And when you think about the amount of time they make you wait, because obviously you've got your time period after you retire where you have to wait, and then you're eligible. We're still talking about 11 seasons removed from an Andrew Jones last played a major league game. That's the exact same amount as Scott Rowland. So you made him wait this long, and then you decided, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. You're telling me you're going to take, what, 14, 15 years before you suddenly decide that Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer? That just feels weird.
It's the dumbness of baseball. There's just no other way. I love the game, but it's the dumbness of baseball. A couple of former Braves did improve their numbers. Billy Wagner went from 51% to 68.1, so he's closing in on the 75%. Gary Sheffield went from 40.6 to 55%, so inching his way a little bit closer as well. I will tell the audience we are going to open a bag of audio fun. The first time we have opened an audio fun bag in, I mean, I know it's more in the calendar year, Hoyt, isn't it? We have a ton of stuff built up in the files, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, no, it's. I think it's only people who work here, I think.
I think it's last April.
Is that true?
What's that?
I think so.
He just said it's last, never mind. We'll do that coming up around 3:30. Georgia Tech losers last night to Clemson on the road, 71 to 52. Los, I didn't watch much of the game because I don't want to watch Josh Pastner teams play. It's just they're not fun. But I did scroll through Twitter to see they were down 10-0 in the first 90 seconds of the game. And now we've fallen to 1-9 in the ACC. Lost 6 in a row in the conference. 5 of those by double digits. It's just, it's reached the level of embarrassing. And I don't know how they scrape up the money or where they scrape it up from. But I assume either before the end of the year or the day after the season, you'll hear that Josh Pastner has been relieved of his duties. If it doesn't happen, you're asking people who are still invested and are angry to turn the anger off and just go to apathy. And that's the worst place to ever be because sometimes people don't come back from apathy.
It's odd that you and I did the exact same thing because I glanced down at my phone. I was like, I just want to see what the scores are. And the first thing that popped up was Syracuse or Georgia Tech and saying 10-0 in that basketball game. Hey. McCamish is too nice of a facility to have bad stuff going on in there. It's one of the best places in the country if you've been to any other basketball arenas.
And so
it's amazing in there. Well, you need to have a team where it really kind of fits the facility.
It wouldn't hurt. Tonight, Georgia and the White Walkers are in Knoxville against top 10 ranked Tennessee at 7 o'clock, trying to avoid their third straight loss. So we'll see if they can pull a decent size upset on the road. The Hawks are on the road at OKC trying to get back over 500. So we'll see what they can do as well. Los, I told you I thought the Falcons DC search would start winding down here this week. Mike Garofalo, NFL Insider, tweeted that the Falcons interviewed Saints co-defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen yesterday for the DC job. He wrote they're coming down the home stretch of their search. And again, I don't know if it happens this week, but I would bet it does with the team. At least all the coaches headed to Vegas for the East-West Shrine Bowl. So we'll see if, again, that's, I'm saying you're not going to rush the decision, but if it factors in when they want to get this done, we know they've talked to Flores, Fangio, Nielsen, and several others. It's been a pretty wide net here in this search.
Well, part of the reason when you do get a chance to talk to guys like Fangio, you're selling them on the idea that you're going to get to shop for the groceries, not make the players, make the picks. But hey, if we're thinking about a guy in free agency, Vic, what do you think about him? Hey, what do you think about this particular player that we're looking at in the first, second, or third round? That's where the importance of having that coach in play. You've got to have him in your house for that.
Now, there are more Lamar Jackson Falcon rumors, and it's really connecting the dots because the Falcons have a ton of money. They have the need at quarterback. Jeremy Fowler at ESPN wrote a piece that he said people in the Ravens facility believe John Harbaugh and their GM in Baltimore, Eric DeCosta, are sincere when they say publicly they're all still in on Lamar. But there are executives around the league that don't believe that's how it's going to end up shaking out. Others are very skeptical about the negotiations, the roadblocks at this point, the guaranteed money, whether Lamar, even if he gets the offer he wants at this point, is so bothered that he's still, after getting franchised, which he will, if they can't work out a deal, they will franchise him. And then if he says, trade me, that's when this thing really ramps up. And the Jets and Dolphins, according to a couple of NFL execs, would be very interested in Lamar for obvious reasons, but they say there's one big hangup. They say they don't believe Baltimore wants to trade Lamar if they have to in conference to have to see him on the field, specifically in the playoffs. So that leaves NFC teams. Multiple people believe the Falcons make sense as a destination. Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith have spent 2 years cleansing the roster and now have a ton of salary cap space. One NFL scouting director said it's a good run game. The offense is friendly to Lamar, helping him grow as a passer. They've got big receivers with catch radius, which he needs due to accuracy issues. Young regime, improving team, looking for a quarterback. Not sure if it's in their plan, but it would make a lot of sense. And it would. It would fit exactly what they want to do.
Everything makes sense. And this really comes down to just the way this offseason comes together. Because if, let's say, for instance, they put the franchise tag on him. Well, if you put just the regular tag on him, then anybody can make an offer, and it's going to cost you 2 first-round picks. I expect the exclusive free agent tag on him, the franchise tag on him. And at that point, they get to now decide where he goes and for how much. And so that's the very first and foremost deal. And you never know, because we really didn't think that Deshaun Watson was going to end up in Cleveland. Remember, that was always third. It's going to be New Orleans or Atlanta, New Orleans or Atlanta. Then suddenly Cleveland got out the money crazy whip and just went to war with it. That is where you just don't know who might go crazy and snake another quarterback out from under you.
Well, somebody will either give him what he wants, or he'll get very close to the guarantees he wants, because somebody will be desperate enough. And I don't mean that as an insult to Lamar. I mean, like, knowing how good he is, that they'll meet his demands at some point. Do you have a rooting interest as we get ready for conference championship Sunday? If I said you're watching Kansas City and Cincinnati and you're watching the Eagles and the Niners, do you have a rooting interest in either side?
I just can't have the Eagles win a Super Bowl. I'll watch anything else.
What about the other side, the Kansas City, Cincinnati? Because I think I might give you a reason. I like to pull against Eli Apple, and I'll give Eli Apple credit. The corner for the Bengals enjoys being the black hat. Like, he leans into the hate that people have for him. So I don't know if you saw the mini controversy where he fell into, like, a lot of other guys. When you beat somebody in the playoffs, he did the 1-2-3 Cancun, wishing Buffalo a nice offseason. Well, Bills players took that in some weird way as a slap at DeMar Hamlin because he wears the number 3. So Shaq Lawson tweets yesterday to Eli Apple and writes, "You played a good game at Eli Apple, but disrespect my boy Hamlin Island in that situation, and that ish is going to get you beat up for real, for real. Keep it on the field." So that was Shaq Lawson at Eli Apple. So Apple retweets him and writes, "Shame you couldn't keep that same energy on the field. Maybe the outcome would have been different. Enjoy Mexico with the homies."
Oh my God. That's a wonderful black hat.
Oh, my God. Then you've got Stephon Diggs, the Buffalo wide receiver who got to do it with Josh Allen, which is not a big deal when you get frustrated. You're losing a playoff game on the sideline. And Diggs had tweeted, "It's easy to criticize my reaction more than the result." Eli Apple retweeted Cancun on 3, to which Stephon Diggs retweeted clout chasing. So, how good is that, though? Like, the whole thing is just wonderful.
It would be fun. Again, it's characters at some point. Once your team is out, I just want storylines. I want fun.
It's okay to root against somebody.
I would love to have this really come down to whether or not Petcat can get healthy to take out somebody from the NFC, or can Joe Burrow get it done a year after he didn't get it done? And either one of them is fascinating.
So after Stephon Diggs tweeted clout chasing, Eli retweeted, "Safe travels to Cabo, fam." He is going to get the last word for a guy who mostly stinks. And Eli Apple mostly stinks, but he's an NFL corner. He has a big ego, and he believes in himself, which is all you want from your corner. But he's not going to back down from anybody's talk.
All right, this is a former first-rounder who I believe is on either number 3 or number 4 already in his career, and it's not like he's 30, if I remember.
No.
I mean, this is a guy who's bounced around as a first-round bust, but has found a home in Cincinnati, and he's the one. The problem is he won, so he's telling you the truth. You can't say anything to him.
Lose, he's only 27.
Yeah, that's...
He's been with the Giants, the Saints, Carolina, and now Cincinnati.
Have that one. Have it knocked out right there. That's 4 teams in the span of about 5 years.
So if you're looking for somebody maybe to root against, I would advise Eli Apple's a good candidate.
It's time to wing it. Presented by WNB Factory. Serving up Atlanta's best wings and burgers with over 60 locations. Find yours at WNBFactory.com.
We'll take your winging it idea, winging it answers at the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We want to know the Braves' new play-by-play man. Who should it be? You'll fill in the blank. The Braves' new play-by-play man should be blank. But wrong answers only.
Protection, 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 protection.
When you watch this replay.
It would be quite the pivot if Chuck could go from college football guru to Braves play-by-play man. I'm going to go with Gorilla Monsoon, which would be quite the challenge since he's dead. But imagine Gorilla in the booth calling Braves games for Bally. That would be must-see TV. Los, give me a wrong answer. Braves play-by-play man should be blank.
He's big, he's powerful, he's dependable. From Game of Thrones, I'd go with Hodor.
Hodor.
All right.
Hodor. Just you would imagine just the energy he would bring.
It's a man of few words.
Hodor.
Dan Matthews, Braves play-by-play man, fill in the blank, the wrong answer only.
Brian Finneran.
I'm good. Good. I apologize.
Brandon Joseph, Braves play-by-play man moving forward. Wrong answers only.
Joe Pesci as Nicky Santoro.
That would be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Be entertaining. Hoyt, wrong answer only. Braves play-by-play man.
Professor D-Led.
Falcons jumped out to a 16-0 lead before the Jets stormed back against the Falcons reserves and pulled out the victory 24-16 here at MetLife Field.
He painted a picture, which is fine. That's
Coach, the, you know.
Be nice. That's a legend. Yeah. Coach Led.
Hey, good morning, Coach. How are you today?
It's a professor. Professor Led. You'll send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. The Braves.
I withdraw. Mine was on the draft class, and Terry just covered it.
That's
so
good.
Thank you.
All right, you're excused. Braves play-by-play man should be blank. Wrong answers only. We will crack open the audio fun bag, the first bag of audio fun in almost a year.
We'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do it in less than 15 minutes. Coming up next, though, the Falcons could be a year away from joining this unlikely sweepstakes. We'll tell you about it next. The Braves' new play-by-play man should be blank, but wrong answers only.
Welcome back to Major League Baseball. Paid attendance today is 1,412. Take over, Monty. I'm in the bag.
Owings 2-2. Ground ball. Birdie's got it. Throws to Diaz. Two away.
Not as easy as it looks, folks. Not at all.
It's not hard doing that play-by-play.
Jay Chad did well. Better than I could do. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Wednesday with us. We will crack open the audio fun bag. Yes.
What's that?
Hey, you heard me. A bag of audio fun.
Huh?
For the first time in 10 months.
Awesome.
So we built up quite the bag. We'll open for you coming up in just a couple of moments. Los is in for the King. We're with you until 6 o'clock until the Front Rows. Audio fun bag with Dill, the up-and-comer, the rising star, the next generation of 680 The Fan talent to take you through your evening. The 3 o'clock hour of our show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website right under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Now, I will be quick about this because I want to get to the audio fun bag. Los, did you see the news? And a couple of the NFL insiders were on this, Benjamin Albright being one of them, who tweeted, from everything I've heard, it doesn't appear Sean Payton has much of a market. Now, when I read that, that really surprised me. Albright writes, the jobs he wanted didn't open. And outside of Denver, and he says, we'll see about Arizona, there just hasn't been much interest. Strong possibility he goes back to TV. Now, that might mean he wanted Dallas, or he wanted somebody else with a quarterback situation that he could step right into and they could succeed. What that could mean here is interesting to me. Let me be clear. I think Arthur Smith is still going to be successful, so this could be a moot point. But there is a world where the Falcons go 7-10 again next year, and that's not out of the realm of possibility at all, even with upgrades, which could mean Arthur Blank might look around and say, I don't know if I can bring him back for a fourth year. That just doesn't typically happen. I wonder if the Falcons would get into the Sean Payton sweepstakes, which seems like some bad wrestling storyline of like the guy who tormented the Falcons for a decade and a half could be at the top of their wish list if they decide to go another direction after, and I say after, and if the 2023 season doesn't go well. You cannot, as much as we don't like Sean because he was a Saints head coach and he was a guy that was easy to root against, Los, he went 152-89 in 15 seasons with a Super Bowl championship, which I love what this one happens. We only won one. There's a reason most guys don't win two. It's damn hard to win one, let alone two. He's got a ton of division titles, a ton of appearances in the postseason. And yes, there have been some weird, painful losses mixed in there. But I know this about Sean Payton. With that play sheet in his hand, he's one of the few difference makers I really think exist. Like a Kyle Shanahan, for instance, that you give him a week to prepare for somebody. I think schematically, he gives you an advantage. So just kind of file it away that if things don't go well a year from now, I wonder if Arthur Blank would break the bank, back up the Brinks truck, and give him a call.
Well, quick point on this. Remember, Sean Payton is still under contract with the Saints through 2024. And so when you hear about he didn't have a market, no one, I believe, wanted to pay the premium. Next year, when he only has 1 year left on his deal, maybe it comes down and it makes a lot of sense for you if you want to throw away that third rounder and say, okay, now we got our coach of the future.
I wonder if the Saints, though, would play hardball with the Falcons knowing we don't want him to go there.
It's a first rounder. Mike, it's not going to be a first rounder. You lose him in a year anyway.
Well, that's the thing, right? At some point, you get something for him or you get nothing. And he does another year of TV and then picks where he wants to go with no compensation being on the hook. Now, this all changes again if the Falcons were to pull off the Lamar Jackson deal. And I'll give you the scenario again. Things don't go great in 2023. I could see Sean Payton being super intrigued by a young roster with a Lamar Jackson. Put Lamar and Sean Payton together. You know what that is, Los?
Fun?
Dynasty.
Fun?
Dynasty. Just something to file away a year from now.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It's time to tickle our audio fun bag and see what pops out. It's the audio fun bag, exclusively on Chuck and Chernoff.
And that's the audio fun bag, the most dangerous segment in all of Atlanta sports talk radio, and by far.
And it's in carpet.
It is, and the most disciplined segment ever in the history of Atlanta radio in general. Let's start right here, because this fun bag has been building for quite a while, and it has everybody taking part in it. Let's start with that morning show of ours, because John Michaels is a friend and also one of the best broadcasters that we have in our entirety of our building. And sometimes broadcast equipment technically does not work along with you. Whenever you've heard me joke around about the signal's failing or something's going on.
The signal's failing.
Yeah, that happens. Listen to John Michaels as he's just trying to conduct a regular radio show and things go haywire by no fault of his own.
Let's talk about some stuff locally that went on. We'll start with these, Matt Lear. You sent me a text and said, we have to play Chris Mad Dog Russo because when you talk about college football and voices you want to hear, it's some Northeastern guy. Microphone guy.
Well,
comes off
of
there.
Oh, God.
Class-leading luxury and legendary power.
Yeah, there are worse ways.
It's good to see Leo react as quickly as he did right there and didn't let that go on for seconds and seconds.
As the mic craps out. And you realize, okay, I can't turn it off right now from where I'm at. We got to figure out something. And no matter what, even all the rest of the guys, their microphones work. But because John's didn't, that's what the broadcast turned into.
Mm. I hate when that happens. Again, it does not happen here very much where there are technical difficulties. When it does, I mean, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
So another show that I thoroughly enjoy is Nick and Chris, in part because there is the mentality that we have on this show, and that it's if you make a mistake, you get attacked immediately. Like, there's just no, well, we'll take a listen to the tape. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll send it to the jury. It's no, you suffer the consequences.
Mm-hmm. In all seriousness.
Oh.
So this is from our very own Chili Dip Open. Mm-hmm. This is Nick Cellini getting ready to send things to break, and listen to how quickly he gets jumped.
When we come back, the Hawks fall victim to the hottest player in the NBA. The world-famous NBA Minute is next. Domino, Cellini, Bears Best, and Swanee. That's where we are, side of the Chili Dip Open. It's the what, fan. What?
The what?
Chili Dip Open.
Not sure that's what you said.
I said Chili Dip Open.
Not sure that's what you said.
Pretty sure that is what I said. Pretty sure that you need to get your hearing checked. It's Domino and Cellini, the fan, 680. That's right, I told you. 680 and 93.7 FM.
No, it's clear that he called it the Chinny something open.
The Chinny Dippin.
But Domino could have let that go.
The what?
You got to let that sometimes. And it's easy for the guy not sitting in this point chair because you do a lot less over in those other seats. And to Nick's defense, he's just trying to power through it like a great broadcaster, and Domino took great pride in just burying him.
The Chili Dip Open.
The what?
Chili Dip Open.
Understand, you really are on scholarship when you sit in that second or that third chair.
That's great. I want to find out one day what it's like.
Again, because you have to do the heavy lifting. You got to hand it. So if you mess up a little bit, you know, this is what happens. All right, let's move on to, again, another thing from our morning show as Brian Finneran. It was a chance to do a read, right?
And they're patented?
Sometimes.
And they're patented.
You get new copy and maybe you're not ready for it, or maybe you mess one word up, and then as soon as that death spiral starts, it's really hard to get out of. Take a listen.
404-231-1680, $20 gift card to Ponco Chicken. You know what it is. Chicken dishes, Japanese-American chicken dishes such as tenders, tacos, and sandwiches, all made with your health minds in need. Health needs in mind. Locations all around town. Find your Ponco at PoncoChicken.com. Did you guys hear what I said?
Can you read?
I can read. Your mind and needs is what I said. Your health, minds, and need.
Okay. That sounded, and I'm not a doctor, that sounded like a mini stroke.
All made with your health, minds, and need. Health needs in mind.
Can you read?
How about Hudson?
Hudson, what up the top rope?
What a jerky move from Mason right there. Wow.
Can you read? And immediately, I can read.
Oh, my God.
The what?
Finn didn't have to defend himself at all. Like, I don't like a bunch of these guys jump on each other's co-host. That's not a cool move.
I'm not sure that's what you said.
Pretty sure that is what I said. Pretty sure that you need to get your hearing checked.
Then everybody gets defensive and the show gets uncomfortable.
The show gets weird.
Yes.
All right, so how about this piece of audio? And I know how this happens. This is our very own Derek Thomas. What happens is when you're on a show and the host asks you to make a comment, oftentimes when you're in the other room, you turn your mic on, you join the conversation, and it's on you to quickly turn it off. Because a lot of times, like a guy like Brandon Joseph's busy. He's handling three or four things at once. He might respond to something on the show. Then he goes back to doing whatever he's doing.
And we should tell people, Derek Thomas is the producer for Buck, so he's running the board and doing a bunch of other stuff. And
he is very busy. He's doing three things at once.
Right.
This piece of audio is when Derek forgot to turn the mic back off after commenting on the show.
You need some guys in that clubhouse that are going to not hesitate to stand up and lead the way. And Freeman was like that when it came his time. And then Dansby took over that role as far as being the spokesperson, the leader on the team. A guy that could go up to somebody and tell him, you know, what you just did is not right. We got to get that.
I don't know if everybody knows.
Got to get that corrected.
But all right.
What's going on, brother?
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Oh,
yeah, I heard something. He doesn't know what's going on. Me?
I'm being an idiot. Wondering about your you calling A.D. Mitchell, Ad Mitchell.
Yeah.
Kind of like you called the New England Patriots the Boston Patriots.
I think it's a matter, like the Carolina Panthers, for instance, they want to reach into, you know, South Carolina. Oh, y'all
are
in here, too.
Would he prefer that I call him Adonai?
Oh,
is that
how
awkward?
Yeah, that's too high. That's too tough, right? Okay.
How about Road
that's
Dog?
Tough, yeah. What? I think he was just thinking that the AD.
Just having a little fun.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, let's not take this job too seriously.
Turn my mic
he
off.
Mispronounced the young man's name. No, I was intentionally doing that.
Oh.
But when you look at this Braves team, I think Sean Murphy brings some of that leadership and toughness to the team.
There's so much going on there. And the fact that, how about Road Dogg just burying Derek Thomas when he could have said, oh, you know, we were talking about something completely different. Instead, he says Derek didn't think you knew A.D. Mitchell's name. And to Buck's credit, as a professional broadcaster.
What's going on, Road Dogg?
He rolls right back into Braves talk.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so Buck, from working with him for years, does this on a regular basis with certain athletes. He just has fun with the names on some people.
You want to comment on Adam Anderson's situation?
No,
never.
I would say this.
Oh, sorry.
And Hoyt would tell you this. If you're going to crap on the host while they're on the air, have your mic off.
What's going on, bro, Dog?
Because typically on that other side of the glass, there's a whole different show, and it's usually something about we could do a better job than's happening over there. He's not good at what he does. But the mics are usually off when that side of the glass is crapping on this side.
We've never been caught talking crap about Matt because we're smart.
Yes, you turn the mics off. Right.
But it does happen.
God, Matt's so dumb.
Oh, mic's on. Right.
Oh, your mic is on. Yeah. All right, how about this piece of audio? Which, listening back on it, this is one of the last times that I subbed in on the show, and I heard something, I said something, but then I filed it away and I started doing the show with you, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Take a listen to Dan Matthews. I'm pretty sure he ripped one right on the air as he turned his mic on.
Most is born in San Antonio. I have my math right on that part.
That is correct. Okay. That's why I'm a Spurs fan,
right.
But also I would watch Houston Oilers games and Dallas Cowboy games.
Dan, you were born in Houston.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What was that noise?
No, I was saying, huh?
Yeah, you were born in Houston. But you're also...
Kind of sound like a mouth fart.
You're a Cowboys fan. So you said he marted.
Yeah. There was something there, wasn't it?
A mouth fart?
Trying something new.
Turn that up for me.
Wow.
How about that, Dan? What was that noise?
A lot of fiber.
That's a new noise we can add to the collection of his odd, strange bodily function type noises around this radio station.
All right, let's get to the back end of the audio fun bag as we once again head on over to Buck Ballou.
And, what?
This is intentional. I'm telling you, I've worked with Buck long enough to where when he does this, he then leans back from the microphone and he starts smiling and laughing to himself, okay? This is what he does. Here's Buck Ballou talking about his Heisman vote and what he's done in the past and surprised that the Heisman committee did not have this reaction to him.
Yeah, man, that was just tremendous. And let me just tell you this. I get a Heisman vote this year, and a few years ago I voted for Roquan Smith as the top college football player in college football, and I was a little surprised when they did not jerk me off of that Heisman voting panel, but I was able to stick around and continue to do it. They did jerk me off.
I don't, the Heisman panel.
Okay, I don't think we can play it over and over.
Yeah, that's more of like a one-time thing because of his pause in there.
The cock commander.
Okay. This is why they take this away from us when you get carried away.
Choking the chicken.
This is why we get to do this like once a year.
He didn't say that on it. Was that?
Yes, he did.
They did not jerk me off.
Okay.
Those are some good perks, though, if you're voting.
I mean,
don't it cost something extra?
I love Buck so deeply. I really do. Buck has reached that stage in his life where he gives zero Fs, and that's a great place to be.
It's a wonderful spot to be. All right. To save us from what Poyt is doing, let's move over to Adam Road Dog Gillespie and Nick Cellini. This is just going to be a piece about where. Okay, there's a lot of messing up things going here where something gets thrown back Adam's way and Adam's completely unprepared, but listen to how this show just turns into some sort of crazy mess from here.
The biggest difference, obviously, and you can attest to this, Road Dog, is Jalen Carter being back the past couple of games. I mean, he's just terrorizing offensive lines, and his draft stock is now skyrocketing. It was high before the season. It dropped when he got hurt, and now he's a man among boys out there.
For sure. I'm sorry, I got distracted by Hoyt. Hoyt is in here talking.
Yeah, well, Hoyt, you see right now, because Domino is up there doing stuff with Jeffrey and Core, Adam's kind of, along with Derek Thomas, co-hosting this segment. So maybe you want to get out of the room.
Oh, here's what we've learned about Adam Road Dog Gillespie. He will bury anybody.
I'm sorry, I got distracted by Hoyt. Hoyt is in here talking.
It's not going to be Adam's fault. It's going to be yours.
Oh, it doesn't matter if it is or isn't, though. Whoever's closest to him will get the fallout, and he took a half a second to just tell the world it was Hoyt distracting him.
All right, we have had this happen in the past, where whether it's a CFT, whether it's a topic that we're doing, sometimes you just lose track of where you're at, and you kind of look at the show sheet, and you're like, oh, please, God, like, where was I? Take a listen to when Buck is finishing up his final words.
They did jerk me off.
Okay. And he's trying to finish it up, and you can tell he had a plan. He knew what he was going to do, and then it turned into, wait a minute, what was I going to do?
You can find these podcasts at The Podcast Park, brought to you by Associated Credit Union. And I've got episode 66 up, talking Braves baseball with John Smoltz, MLB on Fox lead analyst. If you want to check that out, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. And the final word. The final word today. What's that going to be? Nernie, what was I going to do in the final word?
I've got a mention of Irby's Tavern.
Oh, that's right. Irby's Tavern in Buckhead. Tonight from 6 to 8, I'll have a book signing going on inside the hedges.
So the final word was just a promo?
And the final word. Final word today. What's that going to be?
Again, the love I have for Buck is just I love him unconditionally.
Ernie, what am I going to do in the final word?
Yeah. your last three pieces of audio. This was different, and I don't fault Nick Cellini or the radio station for this, because for years, when the Kirby Smart presser starts, we head out to Athens.
The what?
Kirby starts talking, and you run the presser. Well, this time around, for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, it was done differently. Kirby, you're going to hear him go to the podium, and then they decide within the presser to run a promo. So take a listen to what we were used to doing. Nick's used to throwing to it, but listen to what it sounded like.
We'll go to Kirby Smart, and from what I understand, now he's ready.
I know a lot about the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Like Gary mentioned, having played in it, coached in it, and been around it, it's pretty special when you get an opportunity to play in it in your own state.
Congratulations on an incredible season, and welcome to the college football playoff semifinal of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Apparently, they're now playing a promotional video as we are listening to the Kirby Smart press conference live. Here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Following the video, Kirby will take your questions. At 404-231-1680.
The Valor Bowl week will pit players from each team against each other in a series of competitions. On day two, one of the more meaningful...
All right, very good. We're going to get out of this. I'm not in the business of promoting whatever the hell is going on down there. We'll get to Kirby Smart when he decides to start talking.
You know what my favorite part of that was? If you hear the beginning of that again... It sounded like the old reel-to-reel or like when you were in class, like in fourth grade and the film strip was being fired up. Like, listen to this. You hear that?
Yep.
And then they were off and running. I think that was DJ Shockley's voice you heard in that promotional video in the distance. Nick was not too pleased.
No, again, that doesn't happen. No. Ever. We never go over to Athens or wherever to follow the Kirby Smart press conference, and it turns into... Hey, I did this, I did that, and now let's go to the video for a bit.
The beauty of live radio, my friends.
You just got to deal with it. All right, two more pieces of audio as we finish up this version of the audio fun bag. Let me bring back up our dear friend Buck Ballou because...
And the final word.
Buck has
been prominently featured today.
He's final word today.
What's that going to be?
We have the newsmaker line. That's part of what we always have at the radio station, and in this case... Because sometimes you lose track of where you're at or where you're looking in the room, you can sometimes lose a sponsor. And I believe that's exactly what happened. Take a listen.
Check out the great food, specialty dishes in the dining room. Relax on the rooftop terrace or compete with family and friends on the back nine putting experience. Chuck and Chernoff hanging out at Fairway Social coming up later today. And tell you what, let's go to the...
Oh, no.
Let's go to the on up. Hobson and Hobson newsmaker line. Bring on Ian Grimway, the general manager at Bears Best.
There's no worse feeling. It doesn't matter if you've said that 500 times.
Let's go to the.
It doesn't matter if it's right in front of you. Like
go
it's,
to the.
It says Hobson and Hobson newsmaker line
on, this. On up. Hobson and Hobson newsmaker line.
In this big green screen right in front of me on this big plasma TV, it says Hobson. I mean, it doesn't matter. You will not be able to get back on track. Again, it's the mini stroke. We've all been there and done that. It's the most helpless feeling in the world, and your temperature starts to rise. You start to sweat, and you realize, yeah, there's nothing I can do at this very moment to get out of this.
And, again, those wheels start spinning in your head, and you realize, because it doesn't sound as bad to the audience as it does to you in your head.
Got a lot to remember.
But every second that it continues to spiral, you're like, oh, my God, I'm dying here.
And I'm telling you,
remember,
you have said it 800,000. I've given out the phone number to this radio station for the 14 years I've been here, whatever the number is. And there are times when I'll look up and think, what the hell is the phone number? Or what
Let's
is
go to the.
Yes, the on up newsmaker line. It's an awful feeling. Buck, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that had to be highlighted.
On up. Hobson and Hobson newsmaker line.
Let's finish up with this piece of audio because there is a joke from 1999, okay? Like, we've all been in this sports business long enough to remember this joke. But times change, Matt, right? I mean, there's things from 99 that are no longer really appropriate, right? We'd all say.
It's a different landscape.
It is a different landscape. It's a different world. And so there's some jokes that you might say, ah, you know what? Listen, I'm not into PC culture, but there's just some that I go, all right, I'm just not interested in issuing
that
one.
What if we don't play this and just wrap up the bag now?
This is your choice at this point.
But it sounds like we're pot committee. Have we cleared this with the powers that be, this one? All right, let's do it.
Steve West, go.
404-231-1680.
Tiger won $486,000 when he won the Masters. You know, aside from transforming bodies, transforming purses, when it comes to winning and what you earn, you know, Tiger Woods is responsible for that as well.
Remember the old joke? What do you call 300 white men chasing a black man? the PGA Tour?
Wesley, as a black man, I've never heard that saying before.
You've never heard that joke before.
That's Brandon Joseph on the other side of the glass. You guys can talk about that during the break. Here is more from Tiger Woods.
Sure will. Now, a couple of things. He says it like, remember the old joke, Cellini didn't make a noise, but you could hear the fear.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you going to dig out from 20 years ago that we don't say or anyone says any longer?
The old joke. What do you call 300 white men chasing a black man?
And the whole show.
The PGA
was like,
Tour.
Yeah, wait, listen to Cellini. You can hear the fear and he doesn't make a sound.
Wesley, as a black man, I've never heard that saying before.
You've never heard that joke before.
That's Brandon trying to help.
Again, I have a deep, deep love for
Brandon
Steve West.
Joseph on the other side.
That's the audio fun bag.
What would make you think, now I'm going to break this joke out?
I don't know. Again.
You guys can talk about that during the break.
Guess we have different sensibilities. There you go, Los. Thank you. There's the audio fun bag. And let's let it be noted that it happened on January 25th, 2023, to see when the next one comes around.
They did not jerk me off.
That's the problem. They don't let us do that. Another 12 months we're going to have to wait because of that stuff right there, so I apologize. I apologize to everybody who was offended, will be offended, and know someone else who's going to be offended.
What's that?
You heard me. I probably get a text within the next few hours. Coming up next, the Braves retiring this jersey.
Juan Nieves.
Oh, remember Juan? Got him in the Fred McGriff trade, I believe. No, that was Melvin Nieves. I'm sorry. No. The Braves retiring this jersey.
Chris Bosio.
I don't think he played for the Braves.
Terry Nunn?
Didn't play for the Braves.
Raul Ibanez.
Never. No, Raul didn't play here. Raul Mondesi did.
Teoscar Hernandez.
Never played here.
Sean Estes.
We can keep going.
Mark Portugal.
The Braves retiring this jersey would be a glorious end.
David Cone.
To an improbable story.
David Wells.
We'll talk about it next. Chernoff on the Fan. I saw management come down the hall during the break and got really uncomfortable. Didn't know exactly how that was going to go. I dipped out quickly and pretended as if I had nothing to do with any of that audio.
Did they go to the control room?
Yes. Yes, both of them. You know, we got a program director and an operations director and they're always hovering, and there they were. So I got out of the way.
They
quickly
said if anybody sends an email complaining about it hurting their brand, we have to stop doing the fun bag.
Again, you guys have all your fun. I'm the one who gets the texts constantly. You guys have fun. Great.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, there you go.
Awesome. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan until 6 o'clock. The Front Row's audio fun bag will follow us. I was talking to my friend, Kevin McAlpin, who was doing the Braves Clubhouse Report today. I told him we're headed with Atlanta Sports Trips to Bravo Spring Training. Coming up in March, and we're going to be at Clearwater. He started giving me chat and verse about all these spots we need to hit while we're in Clearwater. Do you guys know about Frenchie's Rockaway Grill? I said, like, Jeff Francoeur's got a spot there? No, it's not Jeff Francoeur's, but just one of the many spots. We're going to be on the beach in Clearwater. We figured let's combine a great chance to go see the Braves, who will play the Pirates on that Sunday. Think March. Braves, think beach, think
bitches.
Okay. Mm. We'll be there to see the Braves and the Pirates. We'll take care of transportation from the beautiful Wyndham Grand Clearwater Beach to the ballpark and back, so you can call it your own little rolling tailgate to get your drink and eat on and have a good time for the game. We have a meet and greet that we'll be announcing coming up on that Saturday as well. And then I'm thinking Frenchie's Rockaway Grill right there on the water will be a part of the festivities.
Lemmer?
If he wants to join, I always love to have the Lemmer around. I really do. You can book at atlsportstrips.com. I didn't want to give you the exact number, but I was told we're down to 4 rooms. 4. So this is going to be sold out before you know it.
Leo.
Again, if Leo wants to join, we'd love to have Leo. We will announce our meet and greet guest coming up shortly. atlsportstrips.com. That's atlsportstrips.com. Use the
promo. He's in the two-hole right now.
Thank you, Leo. Use the promo code 680 to get $68 off at booking at atlsportstrips.com. Now, Los, I have a quiz for you and for Brian Montravius Hoyt. Do you know what jersey number the manager of the Atlanta Braves, Brian Snitker, wears?
6.
That was Bobby Cox.
Is he 51?
No.
47.
Know. That's Tom Glavine.
That's Tom Glavine.
Damn it.
Earlier, I asked Hoyt, and he goes 41. I said, no, that's Eddie Matthews. You're just
44.
That was Hank Aaron.
Snitwear's 43.
I was one off.
Yes, you were. The reason I bring it up, I think they're going to retire his jersey one day. In the most improbable, like, rags-to-riches tale that we've ever seen around here, Snit, who's already led his team to a championship, five straight division titles, two trips to the NLCS, universally loved by his players, coaches, the organization, and most fans who aren't going to, you know, point out an eighth-inning pitching change that they don't like in July. I've been guilty of that, too. Don't get me wrong. Los, do you remember a time, and I'm old enough to remember, when Snit was 24 games under 500 after his first season and a half while the Braves were still mostly in the midst of a rebuild? Since then, he's 100 games over 500 as a manager. If things go well and they win 94, 95 games, he'll be 130 games over 500. And he got this job at like 60 years old. And I'm fairly confident that 43 will be permanently up on a wall next to the numbers 3, 6, 10, 21, 29, 35, 41, 44, and 47. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm fairly confident of two things here, and old enough to remember that it took Freddie Freeman and a number of other people saying, this is the guy, because they were going to, he was the placeholder. They said, he is the guy. We like this. Also, I do remember you having issues with his age because we thought, how can he relate when so much of this team is going to be younger?
Sure.
And as it turns out, he was the guy because he was the one who coached him through the minors.
Yep.
And that did matter to these guys.
It is one of the kind of like, it doesn't make sense, as you said, and you said it correctly. He was supposed to just be the placeholder until Bud Black was hired or whoever John Hart and his, you know, seedy little plans had in place. Instead, he's a part of one of the great turnarounds. And I would add one more thing. Los, if he's here another 2 or 3 years, and I don't know how long Snit wants to do this, there's a very good chance he wins another championship. You could be talking about a two-time managerial champion with all those other accolades, as I just gave you. I'm seeing a time when they bring him back, have him walk on the field and unveil a 43 up on the wall. Are you kidding me?
Matt, he is in a situation where he went from base coach to, we'll send you down to the minors to, all right, we'll let you have this job and just take care of it till we find the next person, to having your number retired after a couple of championships.
Compare that to something else. Like, I can't. It makes no sense.
Who does that happen to?
The guy spent his whole life being the, I wanted to be the Brave, you know, organizational guy, and I'll manage in the minors, and I'll take my demotion, and I go from third base, and I had this funky mustache that everybody would kind of point, and that's how they knew Brian Snitker. And now he joins Bobby Cox as the two Atlanta Brave managers with championships. I just, some things you can't make sense of. It would be a movie script that you wouldn't believe.
It would be the closest thing we'd have, in my opinion, and again, it's professional, so it's a little bit different. We already had the crazy Stetson story that's out of nowhere. Could you imagine if we looked at Snit and went, really? You also did this, too, over this time period? Insane.
That's a really good point, right? Those two stories, like, not even out of left field. I'm talking over the left field wall that these two, hey, Stetson, you're going to get two championships, and Snit's going to have one, and like I said, he could have another in the next couple of years. Okay, that makes just a ton of sense. All right, coming up next, Los wants me to know.
I grew up in Texas.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Los wants me to know.
I've had gig speed internet.
I knew that too.
I watched an episode of Cheers.
You do like me to know a lot of different things about you, and I feel like I know some of them.
I have two HBO accounts.
Wow. Opulence.
My wife probably flies 2 to 3 times a month.
Is that still true?
Yeah.
That is a humble brag that I wasn't expecting. No, Los wants me to know.
I'm interested in women.
That I've always questioned, but now I feel more confident in sort of, you know, backing that up, and that's fine.
Sweet.
Am I going to finish now? Are we good? Los wants me to know.
I'm an ex-collegiate baseball player.
I quit. Los wants me to know that
You can have an all-timer for 2 first-round picks.
Whether you're at home. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.